Danny and Dusty.
All right. My rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hour number three, Danny and Dusty with you. Hope you're having a great day. Thank you for being a part of our day and letting us be a part of yours. Coming up this hour, it's supposed to be a 90-degree day today. Right now, your 2 o'clock temp is 85 and sunny. Downtown Portland.
My thermostat in here says 71.
Mm. That's such a jerk move to some guy who's busting his butt right now, digging a ditch, and you're sitting over there, and you have the gall, Jeff Russ?
I do, because I'm going to go home to my 85-degree house.
Yeah, no.
It's okay. It's 69 in here.
Nice.
Nice.
It is hot, so at 2:30 today, we will discuss a very important topic. And one monster unveiled who needs to just explain himself.
Jeff.
It is ice cream truck rankings. That is the rankings of this Tuesday's Tears Day, and we'll get to that at 2:30. I heard in Rusty's update there about the two Browns players that were held up at gunpoint.
I like Gun Pound better.
Gun Pound. They were robbed at gunpoint by six masked men, Greg Newsom and Perrion Winfrey.
I mean, they were set up.
Well, I don't.
If it's six people coming in afterwards.
I don't know if they're set up, but they were just followed. They were targeted.
Well, yeah, they all had masks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, definitely a targeted attack.
Yeah. I mean, guys saw him in the club.
Ah,
probably
see?
Iced out.
It's a setup.
And a phone call was made to the crew.
Yeah.
Put your hands up. Put them to the sky, Buster.
Brandon Miller involved.
This is wow. If you were wondering, though, this is why guys like Ja Morant carry a gun around. It's just, it is situations like this. And it's just that Ja Morant, responsibly carry your weapon and do not bring it out every time you're on Instagram Live, you moron.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Pierce, remember, he was stabbed, what, six times when he was robbed? Like, the whole idea of people with lots of cash and people who wear heavy jewelry carrying a firearm, I'm not going to argue against that.
No, and that it is these instances why those guys do carry
why they have a genuine
arms
fear
with them.
Because
yeah.
They go out and they know that they can be targeted.
They will be targeted.
Yes.
You know, at some point, whether it's, you know, six armed men wearing masks at gunpoint, that is extreme. But at some point, somebody will target you, whether it's to rob you or, you know, chest up to you because you're a big bad NFL player out there or a professional athlete, that these things happen a lot. And we don't hear about most of them because
they don't want it out there that it's happening.
Yeah. Well, they don't want it out there that's happening, but most of the time everything is diffused relatively quickly. But there is a legitimate fear for a lot of these guys out there that they will be targeted. Ja Morant, though, is an idiot and decides that he's going to beat up a high school kid and then go get his gun and brandish a firearm at a high school kid he knows isn't armed. He is going to whip his gun out all the time on Instagram Live and threaten shoe store employees. Like, what are we doing here? That is just stupidity. That is stupidity. He does. But there are a lot of athletes that do carry because of what happened to Winfrey and Newsom.
And here's the thing for everybody who's going, well, don't go out. No, go out. Go out. Go live your life. But also have a back room. Have security.
Yeah.
Don't go in places where you shouldn't go. Like, we all know, like, we're all grown men. We all know the difference between the strip club and the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's clubs you don't go to.
Yeah.
Or you know that you don't go there because of either where they are or the clientele.
Yeah. All right.
And it's like, it's I'm not victim blaming these guys, but also at the same time, like, when this story, when it gets fully uncovered and who did it, it's probably going to be somebody who knows somebody involved with both these guys. It's almost always one of those situations where it's just, it's always ugly.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, so what happens then when you get a crew of guys like this and they go out and they see Jaw at the nightclub, mm-hmm. right?
Well, they use those guns. That's the scary part for Jaw. Yes. That's why you don't go around flashing a gun everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, hey, he's got something out there, sure. And we know he's strapped, so they're going to have a hell of an itchier trigger finger.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the whole point of like why you don't brandish firearms.
Yep.
Because you invite yourself
into... Well, that's one of the several points as to why you don't do it. But, responsibly own a gun.
Yes, and it invites...
If you're going to own one.
People, mindsets, and ideologies to the table you don't otherwise want there.
All right. Well, the PGA Tour, they dropped a big one today. As on CNBC, Jay Monahan and LIV Golf Chairman... Al Rumian were on CNBC and they said, hey, we're calling peace. I feel like, you know, these are the two guys that are going to hug it out on national television here.
Uh-huh.
They did it. They're going to work under one umbrella. And all of the talking over the last year about how terrible LIV is, how terrible the PIF is, the Public Investment Fund, which is funded by Saudi Arabia, and the human rights that they just, I don't believe they have that term in Saudi Arabia.
No.
That's not something that
they adhere
to.
No, they're still stoning, you know, gay and lesbian people, so.
People in general. Yeah. I mean, it's not good. It's not good.
No, but at the same time,
like, all you need to know is that a few years ago, they made a big deal because they allowed women to drive recently.
Yes.
Recently.
It's a whole different world.
They
folks.
Allowed women to drive cars and they were like, applaud us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, we're working our way there.
Goodness
when
gracious.
When you said coming together, though, you know, the first thing that I thought, it made me chuckle, is the very funny famous photo of the Bloods and the Crips tying their bandanas together.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that popped into my head. All I was like, oh, God, is that really what the PGA Tour is doing right now?
Well, in
two groups of idiots coming together to say, hey, let's drop the war.
Jay Monahan, man, he is catching a lot of heat, and rightfully so, after all the grandstanding. After he said, you never have to apologize to be on the PGA Tour because of what the Saudis have done. He has stabbed a lot of players in the back. Mainly, I mean, Rory McIlroy is probably the guy who has the biggest gripe here out of anybody. Because Rory, he went to bat for the PGA. He went to bat for Jay Monahan. He went to bat for anybody that was sticking with the tour, and he went at all the LIV guys. He went at Phil. He went at DJ. He went at Brooks. Mm-hmm. And he said, he went at Greg Norman. And he said, what you are doing is wrong. And there's no coming back from that. He also turned down 9 figures to go over there. Tiger Woods reportedly was in the upper 9 figures to go over there. And you're turning him down. And now they turned down all that money, mm-hmm. but when the money came to Jay Monahan, it came to the PGA, boy, they flipped the script.
He said, come on down.
And now you have players, and we haven't heard from Rory yet, and I bet he is fuming over this. Justin Thomas probably is too.
I'm wondering what their what their personal reactions are as opposed to what their prepared statements are going to be. Because they aren't going up there off the cuff.
Well, after watching Full Swing and seeing Rory drop an F-bomb at Phil and saying, F you, Phil, and then seeing how he handled himself in front of the press and the mic, I'm going to guess that it's going to be a stark contrast between the two.
Ever so slightly?
Ever so slightly. Colin Morikawa has chimed in. He says, I love finding out the morning news on Twitter. You know? And every thought yesterday was the longest day in golf. Nope, it's going to be today.
Oof.
Justin Thomas, said, I was having quite the nice practice session this morning. And then he took a video of what I'm assuming is his personal phone just blowing up.
Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding.
Text message, notifications, app notifications, just going left and right, just bang, 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 bang.
Look at a Kanye West tweet.
Joel Damon, who is a Northwest guy that he got a lot of acclaim off Full Swing, said, I've grown up being a fan of the Four Aces. Maybe one day I'll get to play for him on the PGA Tour. Now, like, guys like Joel Damon, there's a lot of players that don't care about the Live.
Yeah.
They're happy for their guys that got paid.
Yes.
And they're fine with it. Like, they don't have any gripe with them.
I would bet you if you did a anonymous straw poll, most players would have been okay with it.
Yeah. Tyrell Hatton has he tweeted out just a GIF of a Seahawk or a Falcon player rather, absolutely lighting up a San Francisco, I think it's Anquan Boldin, blindsiding him with just a tweet that said that came out of nowhere. There's a lot of guys that are chiming in from the golf world that, look, they kind of feel betrayed by the PGA because of what they were told. And that's going to be the one that's going to be really hard to come back from if you're Jay Monahan.
You absolutely should.
Yep.
They lied to you. They led you on. They made you feel like you were better than. And it turns out in reality, you probably were better than because they weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's what kind of really is sticking in the craw of a lot of these players is this is from the Financial Times. It says the framework of the agreement was broken over 2 months of meetings between the PGA and PIF across US, Europe, and the Middle East. Monahan, who once said the PGA was focused on legacy and not leverage, told the Financial Times on Tuesday that he began to trust Al Rumian, who is the commissioner or the chairman of the Live Tour. Mm-hmm. And he's I don't even know the structure of it, but he's pretty high up with the Saudis in the Saudi government. It says he began to trust Al Rumian, quote, 10 minutes after sitting down with him in Venice. After absolutely just lambasting this guy left and right.
Little bottle of vino in Grapeville in Italy. And oh, hey, look at that.
After all the months of trying to get your guys to back you and start talking S about the Live, after trying to convince your golfers to turn their backs on their friends, you say after 10 minutes sitting with the guy, you began trusting him? Come on, man. These are the quotes that are not going to sit well with the players that went to bat. That went to bat. And you know, you mentioned a great point earlier. The fact that 2 months ago these conversations started,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's found out about it?
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. That Jeez. Means they kept those channels one-to-one. Which mean for all of the Jay Monahan, maybe he didn't know or couldn't have done anything. He was the guy leading it.
Yeah. Yikes.
There's no way Jay Monahan comes out of that clean.
And
he doesn't.
We're hearing that, you know, Greg Norman didn't even know.
Nobody knew. So it was a direct one-to-one, face-to-face conversation.
On both sides. We're hearing about all the players, you know, who felt blindsided by it on the PGA side. The guy who's been the face of Liv, he had no idea. Greg Norman. And we know one of the great rivalries that came of this. You remember Brandel Chambly of Golf Network and NBC?
Yes.
He made a point to go after. When he went after Brooks Koepka. And it's like personal, and it's kind of weird as to why he hates Brooks so much. Brooks Koepka only tweeted welfare check on Chambly. Damn. And we watched the video of Brandel Chambly, or we watched the interview live, his first interview on the Golf Channel since right after all this went down. He went on right before our show. That man called it like one of the worst days of the history of golf.
Yeah, he went all over the cliff.
That dude looks like somebody. He is Baxter, and he got punted right off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, he's in a glass case of emotions.
Yes, and there's also another one that was just sent to me. Eamon Lynch, he had a tweet that linked into his Golf Week article. This is the header from the tweet. Phil Mickelson's Twitter bluster can't distract from his reality as a shameless pawn for murderers. Mm. That was on... That was this morning.
It's tough.
Like,
awesome day today is what Phil's tweet
was.
Wow. His tweet was awesome day today. And you could say, you could talk about Phil all you want. And one thing, and when all of this came to a head, and really, I don't think it would have been a big deal had Phil not brought it up. I think people would have just kind of brushed right past it, not really even known. But when Phil called them bad MFers and who had, that have a horrific history of human rights,
mm-hmm.
and still got into bed with them, like that is what started all. Like,
yeah.
Phil Mickelson is the one that called them out and was like, these are bad people.
And then $250 million later, it was like, well,
but Phil always said it wasn't just about the money, because he never said it wasn't about the money.
Yeah.
He said it wasn't just about the money. He said the game of golf needed to change. And that's why Phil's saying awesome day today.
I don't think he's wrong on that point.
And I think he does believe it. He believes it. And to him, it is an awesome day, mm-hmm. because he wanted the PGA to have to bow, right? Because he's been saying, like, you know, this almighty PGA Tour and the way that Jay Monahan is treating himself and the rest of the tour,
mm-hmm.
this isn't who they are. And no. He's been pretty open about, you know, his feelings on the PGA is stuck in their ways. Mm-hmm. They have their thumb on the game. They're not allowing it to grow.
And they weren't paying guys.
That's why he said, all right, I'm going to go, despite knowing that these people are horrible humans, and they are giving me a ton of money. He was open with
yes.
that. He said he wanted the game to change. And the PGA did change.
Was it a month later that the purses were completely skyrocketed? All of a sudden, money that they didn't have, all of a sudden was made available. It was crazy.
And it was millions upon millions upon millions
yes.
of dollars.
And it wasn't like, we'll kind of up things a little bit. No, it was drastic change throughout the PGA.
And then he also knew if the money came to the PGA, they'd fold as well. And they did. They did.
There
and I
it's a dark day when Phil Mickelson was right on multiple fronts.
It's not that, he wishes that he was right this often with his bookie. But this isn't Phil Mickelson. This isn't Brandel Chamblee. The truth lies somewhere in the middle, you know? And it is on either end of this thing, man. This has gotten ugly, and it's not going to get any more clear anytime soon, because Monahan is going to be in the crosshairs. I don't think he was expecting the reception to be this brutal from the people who cover the game and his own players, but it is, and he could find himself on the way out. But as we said earlier, he probably has a pretty nice golden parachute waiting for him, courtesy of the PIF.
Mm. Not to be confused with the PIL, not nearly as much money.
No. No. No, the Portland Interscholastic League, not as cash is cash rich as the PIF.
Have they figured out that softball fence yet?
At McDaniel? No, yeah. I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so.
Shame.
They probably should figure that one
out.
All right. How did this happen? One head coach says he's better than he's ever been before. The guy's been to a Super Bowl. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Dan Campbell entering, I mean, this year, coming off of Hard Knocks and the successes that the Detroit Lions were able to build off of, I'm interested to see what this Lions team does after going 9-8 last year.
Even with a bunch of them gambling their way out of the league
this year. That's right. I mean, it was... They were horrible at the beginning of last year.
It was laughable, especially when you talk about biting kneecaps.
They went 8-2 in their final 10 games mm-hmm. last year.
And it wasn't one of those, at least I don't think. I don't think it was, they were just, you know, playing bad teams or teams that were uninterested down the stretch. I think they just kind of figured a younger team was figuring stuff out.
That's right.
And their offense, we know, was rolling. Even when they were bad, their offense was great.
Yeah.
It was their defense that they needed to kind of figure some stuff out. And as the season went on, they did figure stuff out.
Well, and this is what sucks about, like, having Jameson Williams, they unlocked something mm-hmm. because he's a true game-breaking receiver downfield. And if you look at when he came back from that ACL, it was like his first possession was a touchdown, or his first touch. I mean, they have got weapons. Amon-Ra St. Brown. You've got Reynolds. You've got Williams. That now you're building on an offense that you started to see the traction. And with Aaron Rodgers out of the division, and there things are in flux in Minnesota, Green Bay, and Chicago. This is an opportunity that they can pounce on. Marvin Jones Jr. Who do they get at tight end? Who do they have at there? I think he's a second year guy, right?
Laporta.
Yeah, he's there, right?
But yes, Sam Laporta. Yeah.
The kid out of the Notre Dame kid, Brock Wright. Brock Wright.
Oh, okay.
They've got depth on offense. Their offensive line seems really damn good. If they can bolster a secondary, they are going to be formidable on defense. It all comes down because Aiden Hutchinson was phenomenal in year one.
It took him a couple games to figure some stuff out. Man, he figured it out.
But the quarterback is always going to be the position that you have the biggest question mark about. Mm-hmm. Dan Campbell is coming out firing during their OTAs, as he said, Jared Goff is a better quarterback today with the Lions than he ever was with Sean McVay and the Rams. And I think on the surface, you'll sit there and you'll be like, well, I sure hope he is. You know, he was terrible in LA. He played in a Super Bowl. I mean, he didn't score a touchdown in that Super Bowl, but he got them to a Super Bowl. And if you look at what the ceiling for the Lions can be in a weaker division.
Yes.
Especially than the NFC West was when mm-hmm. when Goff was navigating them through the NFC West. You have a weaker division. You have put enough weapons around him to feel comfortable with. He's not going to be the guy that carries you through a game.
You're keeping him upright, too.
It will be. How good is your defense? Because you're not going to be winning in shootouts. You are going to win football games in the 20s and teens, low 20s and teens. That is a Jared Goff football team. Because he's not the guy that's going to push the ball down the field.
Particularly on the road.
But when he says he's light years and miles ahead of where he was in LA, I wholeheartedly agree with that because you saw the strides that he was taking. His first year in Detroit, that is such a wash because they were a dumpster fire, not even trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
When they found something in the back half of the season last year, his final 9 games of last year, do you know what his touchdown interception ratio was?
5-1?
15-0.
Oh, good Lord.
15 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
5-1 would have been really good.
Yeah. His quarterback rating was 105.9.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness.
And he was pushing the ball down the field. Yards per attempt were 7.7. It wasn't like
that would be
he was like a check down Charlie.
Yeah, that'd be third or fourth in the NFL.
Jared Goff was a good quarterback at the end of last year. Yeah. And they are putting more pieces around him, as long as he can stop gambling, that will make him successful.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, when I first read that headline, one of the things I thought was, is that Dan Campbell saying that they've unlocked something with Jared Goff? Like, he's kind of done that? And I don't mean this in, like, a negative way, but just the way it was phrased was, like, was that a little bit of a shot at McVay and the Rams?
Yeah.
I don't think that was the intent, but I definitely look at that and go, I think that there was maybe a little bit of like, oh, McVay's the smartest guy in the room, huh? That's really what we're going to do here.
I can see that. I can see that a little bit of that shot being taken.
I feel like that was kind of the case here in that, yes, he's our guy and we've invested him and he's gotten better, which you expected a quarterback as they get older to do. But also at the same time, you look at that and you go, is that a little shot at L.A. and how good and great and grand and everything is there that they do there?
Well, he's just saying we asked, and he said in his comment, we asked him to do more than they did. Well, which because Sean McVay didn't trust him.
Yeah.
And that's okay because now we forget how young Jared Goff was.
He was a baby.
He's only 28 years old, yeah, and he's kind of been in our focus for a while.
For 10 years.
Yeah. I mean,
not really, but, you know, it feels like it.
But Goff was young at Cal,
mm-hmm.
and he took his lumps at Cal. He was young with the Rams, and Hard Knocks did him no favors being a young quarterback and being the focal point of that show.
Oh, do you remember how awkward that was?
We didn't, like, they left him hanging and hung him out to dry with the, you know, he doesn't know which direction the sun rises and sets in, you know? But now you think of it in these terms. He's 28 years old. He's seen so much football. And the good stuff, yeah, sure, we'll run that back. Let's do that again. The bad and the ugly, that is where you learn as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. What's how you learn as a football player is your failures. He's had plenty of them. And now you have some stability in Detroit where you don't have to look over your shoulder every single day. Yeah, right?
That's like the Lions coming into a season and being like, no, we're good at quarterback.
Yep.
That's weird.
And this is, you could see Jared Goff actually pop because at the end of last year, he did. He did.
What was the last quarterback we saw pop late that wasn't out of the NFL? Was it Gannon?
Jake DeLhomme was right around there and after. I mean, we've seen a lot of these guys will,
It's been a while since we've seen a guy like really pop late though.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like late, but Kirk Cousins wasn't. I mean, he sat behind RG3 to start his career.
True.
I mean, you'll see guys. I mean, he's like 28, but again, what is popping? Taking your team to the Super Bowl? I mean, he did that early.
He did.
With a really good team, and I think it clouds us a lot of. Ryan Tannehill is also a guy that.
Tannehill and Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, those are guys that they played for a long time and got ridiculed and criticized a lot.
They just needed to get to the right place and learn things the right way.
And that, like, Ryan Tannehill is, like, you're not starting your franchise as Ryan Tannehill, but he's serviceable.
I mean, in his prime and when he's getting it done, you're comfortable with him as your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's something Detroit hasn't been able to say for, God, how long?
Yeah.
How long has it been since Detroit could honestly say that they're comfortable with their starting quarterback?
Let's see here.
Kitna?
No. Who was there? Scott, whatever his name was.
Miller?
No. God, no. Maybe it was Kitna. Maybe Kitna. I don't know, man. It's been a long time.
That's what I'm saying.
Time.
Like, that is a long
Stafford.
Time.
Stafford, obviously.
Oh, yeah, duh, but.
Outside of Matthew Stafford, I don't know. It's been a long time. A long time.
That's kind of nuts.
Yep. All right.
Which text line is just a host of quarterbacks coming in.
Well, that popped late with Geno Smith last year. Geno Smith last year.
Oh, you know
what?
Geno's a great one.
Jeff Garcia. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I saw Todd Collins as a Bills rookie. He was trash. 10 years later, he started for Washington, and I honestly thought he looked better than Mark Brunell. Todd Collins, huh?
That's
haven't heard that name in
a
long
name.
Time. All right, let's get to it. One of us will be labeled as a monster, and rightfully so. Hmm. It's Tears Day, and we have got quite the conundrum here. Ice cream truck rankings.
Hmm.
Next. First is Russ with SportsCenter. In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing. Bubble hard in a double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan. You hit the brakes, new whips, money ain't a thing. Come on. Yeah, I want to floss with us. Come on. All across the board,
we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it. All right, it is Tuesday, which means it's a Tears Day. And look, you are a monster. That's just to whoever has this list. I don't know whose list this is. I have a good idea, though. I have a good idea. That would be an upset. It is Tuesday, which means it's Tuesday, and it is ice cream truck rankings, as it is supposed to be 90 degrees today. So without further ado, let's get to it. Our Tuesday list. Mr. Morang, you can start and really out yourself from your very first row if you'd like.
Well, my actual garbage tier is...
I should mention.
There's additional
There's
tiers.
A lot of tiers. There's actual garbage, F, D, C, B, A, S, and then S plus.
Yes.
Woof. Okay.
True tiers list.
Your actual garbage tier.
The dipped cones. They suck.
What do you mean, the dipped cones?
The dippers. The cones where you have, like, it's a cone and then it's hard chocolate shell on the outside.
All right.
They suck. They're not good.
Okay.
And then there's, like, two things here that are, like, pints of ice cream. If you're buying a pint of ice cream out of an ice cream truck, what are you doing?
Your list is already in question. Okay. Is that your actual garbage list?
That's my actual garbage tier.
My actual garbage tier includes anything with a face. So the Powerpuff Girls, Spider-Man, Batman, Tweety Bird, Sonic the Hedgehog, SpongeBob there. Yeah, because those always wind up looking like mutants. I also got a little loosey-goosey with the rules on that one and included the Sour Power one because that label has a face on it, and anything that sour I don't want for ice cream or a popsicle.
Okay.
And then also included the Turtle Bar.
Damn, you have a lot of actual garbage
here. Yeah, because I hate pecans, and then also loosely associated with the turtle.
I am so with you on the, if it has a face, it's hot garbage. In actual garbage.
Wow.
In the ice cream truck. So that is just my garbage list. Is if it's like the SpongeBob is the popular one.
Finding out who doesn't have a soul here.
Spider-Man, Sonic, Batman.
No youthful joy in either of these two gentlemen.
I didn't like him when I was a kid.
Nope, never did.
Never did. Wow. Didn't like him when it was Bugs Bunny as a kid. Nope, didn't like it.
Wow.
It's my garbage tier.
Unbelievable.
Ahead. Next.
My F tier is basically anything additionally that is in a sandwich form. So
what
the ice cream
the
sandwich, cookie
is wrong
sandwich,
with you?
Choco taco, they're not good. On a hot day, I don't want chocolate. What is hard to understand about this? It's 90 freaking degrees. I don't want chocolate.
You are broken and you need to be loved.
It's so weird. What is wrong with you?
All right, well, my F tier does include one of the sandwiches, and the only reason why it's not an actual garbage is because half of it is salvageable. It's that Neapolitan ice cream sandwich.
Yep.
Also in the F tier, the cotton candy swirl, that wacky watermelon. I think that's a bomb pop. Those couple of snow cones, like was that Jolly Rancher and the cherry screwball, I believe.
I didn't even rank those.
Yeah, the bubblegum pop, no thank you. And then there's that orange polar push pop thing.
Oh, so everything that has, there's nothing but joy in.
Yeah, push pop. Mm. Push pop is in mine. What's it called?
Neapolitan.
Yeah. I was about to call it Napoleon, the Bonaparte.
the Bonaparte.
And then, the bubblegum, cotton candy, wacky watermelon, I'm out on those. There's only two flavored ones that I truly like, and I will get to those later. And then I also have the pint of Breyers that's in here. What are we doing? A pint of ice cream?
Yes, who's getting a pint of ice cream from the ice cream truck?
Yeah, and vanilla, of all things. Like, I'd like some vanilla. Shut up and go inside. You have that in your freezer.
Here you go, Mike Tirico.
Golly. All right, D tier.
My D tier is, again, the rest of the chocolate. The fudge bar, the additional fudge bar, the crunchy vanilla fudge bar, the rich bar, all of them.
You and I can no longer be friends.
It's 90-degree day. The last thing that I want is chocolate.
I don't get you. The only one... I'm just going to get my D-list out of the way. It's very short.
Yeah.
It's just the chocolate-covered vanilla bar. Because it's really good. But if we're talking ice cream truck, it's at the bottom of what I'm getting.
My D-tier, these are kind of the ones like, I'll take it if somebody gets it for me. You know what I mean? Mm. That's where I have the pint of vanilla. And then... one of those the crayon looking bomb pop type things.
Yeah.
And the fruit bar.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The D, you'll take it whenever you can get it, huh?
Good thing there's music under that.
And I love the, no way Jeff Drust is going to say, okay, you got me a pint of ice cream. I guess I'll eat it.
There's a stunner.
All right, C tier, go.
C tier, apparently I dragged the Snickers up there, but it's Snickers is also on D tier. I'll give it a little bit of a pass just because I like a Snickers. But...
Never been closer to swearing at you.
C tier is just the push pop.
Okay.
It's the entrance into the goodness of the actual ice cream truck.
Okay.
My C tier, I've got that strawberry shortcake crunch pop, the couple of bomb pops, the Hawaiian punch, and the OG flavor. Okay. And that Screamer thing, I can't really see what it is, but it looks like it's kind of a cookie dough type thing, so it can't be that bad.
Okay. I've got in my C tier your standard ice cream sandwich, which is, we all know what that is. It's the chocolate.
The chocolate, the soft chocolate.
Yeah, the rectangular one with the vanilla ice cream in the middle.
Yeah.
It's average, and that cookie's always not good. It's not good. And then I have the chocolate on chocolate on chocolate drumstick, which you called the chocolate dipped cone.
Yeah.
And then the turtle bar is in my C tier. Very average, all three of those.
All right, my B tier. It's the fruit tier. The fruit bar, the lemonade chill, and the strawberry parfait.
Okay.
All just a good little fruit tasty treat. Mm-hmm. Fruity tasty treat.
Yeah.
On a nice warm day. We're starting to get towards the true blessings of the ice cream truck.
I'm getting more mad at your list as it goes on.
My B tier, I've got the chocolate version of that strawberry shortcake crunch bar. What looks to be, chocolate frozen banana. And then two similar things, it looks like the frozen lemonade and frozen strawberry lemonade.
Talking, we have, look at that, a little agreement there.
My B tier is the Oreo cookie ice cream sandwich. Mm. It's very good. Who doesn't love a good Oreo cookie? But it's just not better than the three tiers above it.
That's it, huh?
That's it. Yep, okay. A-tier.
A-tier. This is where the goodness starts. How obnoxiously sweet is it? Because that's where we're going. The Jolly Rancher icy, the whatever strawberry icy, the cotton candy swirl, the wacky watermelon, the Hawaiian punch, the bubble gum. Yes! Yeah. Ice cream trucks are for children.
This is where I can say that you have the palate of a child.
Yes, ice cream trucks are for kids. Right. That's what this is supposed to be.
Sore tricks.
So you go straight for the obnoxiously sweet stuff. That's when I hear that stupid song, I don't think crappy chocolate. I think, oh, sweet, sweet, obnoxiously over-the-top summery treats.
Nah, like,
that's what an ice cream truck is about.
Those, I thought of mine as what I loved as a child as well, which I gave a spoiler yesterday as to what will be a top mine.
My A tier, I've got both of them dipped cones, the vanilla and chocolate version.
Okay, the drumsticks.
Yes, the drumsticks. I've got that plain chocolate covered vanilla ice cream bar and the Snickers ice cream bar.
All right, my A tier, I'm mixing it up. I got the rocket bars. I they're different colors on this one. I like mine red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an A tier bite. And then I have like the caramel chocolate crunch bar, and then the Hawaiian Punch bar is an A tier bar. I love Hawaiian Punch. Hawaiian Punch is fantastic.
You're picking up a few of them.
Okay.
S tier, does it have a face that I can eat? That is my S tier. If it has a face with little bubblegum eyes, my goodness, that is when I saw that ice cream truck and I saw the little face of whatever action hero I could get. Abso-friggin-lutely.
Take it easy, Hannibal Lecter.
Listen, I loved it. It's a face that I could eat. Sign me up. And I love the fact, like, if you ever bite, like, the corner of one of those off.
Yeah, they're horrific.
There's a texture that I love. It's ice creamy, but there's, like, this, I don't know. I don't know what it is that makes it the way that it is, but my God, do I love it.
So, S tier, right?
Psychopath.
S tier, yep.
S tier. The crunch vanilla bar, and then I've got my sandwiches here. I've got the chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwich, the Oreo cookie sandwich, and then that plain old rectangular, chocolate cookie ice cream sandwich.
My S tier's got the ice cream Snickers, the Choco Taco, the strawberry shortcake bar. I love the strawberry shortcake bar and the vanilla crunch bar. But just a big fan of the crunchy and the vanilla ice cream.
So you're basic.
S plus.
The goat tier, the orange cream bar, and the strawberry shortcake bar. Okay. That is childhood personified. We talked about it yesterday, like you said, the wooden spoon and the orange cream. That's just, Nothing beats the orange cream bar, but the strawberry shortcake, man, is it close.
All right, well, so getting to my S-plus tier, I agree with you for once on something, the orange creamsicle.
Look at that.
But these, honestly, this is the GOAT S-plus tier, the creamsicle, the fudgesicle, and the Choco Taco.
Okay. Mm. Choco Taco, RIP. I've got your chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwich. I love them to this day. I loved them as a kid. Got the original drumstick. OG drumstick is one of my favorites. Fudge sickle and the orange cream sickle. That is the correct list, by the way.
On the way home, I'm going to see if I can find a ice cream with a face on it.
Just really?
Yeah.
Even as a kid, I was like, this isn't good.
Oh, I love it.
The other things are better.
No.
But as an adult, you still believe that?
Yeah.
God.
It brings back the memories, man.
Psycho.
If I could find, honestly, I want to find a place that has either the orange creamsicles or the strawberry shortcake ones. Honestly, those would be the ones I would actually snatch up right now. I don't know anywhere that has them.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Smalls would go for the orange cream.
He would go for an orange creamsicle, yeah.
Let's go.
I think that is true. I think that is very true. All right. My goodness. Your text, your feedback. On the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Danny's having a tough go of it right now. Danny Dusty on the fan.
Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, what a beautiful song. Judy Garland. Which I heard that they just found her ruby red slippers.
Under the house?
No. No. Some guy stole them from a museum.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's wild.
In North Dakota. Because apparently she's from North Dakota.
Is she really?
Judy Garland.
Interesting. Her and Roger Maris. And Phil Jackson.
That's a great list.
Right? It's not a bad list.
I think it was That's better than Oregon's.
Yeah.
I'd take Judy Garland, Roger Maris, and Phil Jackson.
There's my buddy of mine went to the private school in North Dakota where Roger Maris went, and they still.
The private school.
Yeah. In Fargo.
They have a private school.
I should say in Fargo. And they still have the desk that Roger Maris sat in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's old Catholic school.
Wow.
Yeah. Small world.
It says here she was born in Minnesota, but that doesn't tell you much.
No, I mean, she could have been born in East Fargo, which is literally on the other side of the river.
Yeah. Is that really? Is it right across the
yeah,
river?
Yeah, East and West Fargo. Yeah.
Where's Grand Rapids at?
Michigan.
Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
I've never heard of Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
In 1922, that was it. Huh. I don't know. But, yeah.
There's a bigger and more important reason that we're playing this.
We're
right
playing
now.
This because they used to send this song over to the troops in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy Garland to remind the troops that better days are ahead. And today is the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
One of the, if not most insane operations in United States military, maybe world military history. Lot of people left out on to what was the end of their life in a situation that...
Wait, is it 75 years? It's more than that.
1944.
1944.
23. So 56 plus...
No, that's not 75.
79?
79 years. 79 yeah. years. Yeah. 79 years.
You're talking about an operation that a lot of people gave their lives up for, and it ended up being the turning point of World War II.
Sure did. So. It sure did. But it was a... I mean, it was... A complete...
I should say in the European campaign.
Yeah, yeah, in the European campaign.
Yeah.
But that was a day that, my goodness, you sit there and you look at an FDR after Pearl Harbor said it was a day that will live in infamy. Mm-hmm. That is a day that it was a true turning point for the United States in World War II as well, is D-Day in 1944.
It's a wild, wild date if you really dive into the history of the day and what went around it and As a gentle reminder, is that there's very, very, very few of those left in this world who survived that and were a part of that operation. So if you have an opportunity to say something to them, to thank them, to appreciate them, do it.
All right. When we come back tomorrow, we will be previewing Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Up next, you got Primetime with Isaac and Buck on 1080 The Fan. Have a great Tuesday. See you Wednesday on The Fan.
Bye.
Now watch this drive.